miracles, victories, resurrection, torture? Welcome to Right Start with Jim Custer, teaching pastor of Grace Polaris Church in Columbus, Ohio. In Hebrews 11, we find one of the most abrupt pivots in all of literature. We're reading about the superstars of faith and their wonderful exploits, and suddenly, things take a very dark turn. How can the same faith and the same God give these very different results? Jim will pick it up with the story of Ruth.
Ruth discovers that she's heir apparent to a provision God put in the law. Boaz sees her gleaning in the field, asks, "Who is that?" And from that moment on, he couldn't sleep nights, he couldn't rest days. The first time he saw her, he said, "You just rest. I've got some things I need to settle first. There's a guy who would be more qualified to claim you as part of a legitimate Jewish transaction, where you would become his wife and he would need to raise children through you that would be credited to your husband." I find that fascinating, don't you? Yes. Here's Boaz. On the one hand, his mom is Rahab, the harlot. His wife becomes Ruth, who is a Moabitess, and look what happens. Obed fathered Jesse, and Jesse followed King David. So let me see. That means Jesse's wife would have been David's mother. Obed's wife would have been his grandmother. Ruth would have been his great-grandmother, and Rahab would have been David's great-grandmother. Did I get that right? Great. Say it again. Great. You got the word. Rahab became a great servant of God. Her beginning wasn't so good. Her finish was fabulous, incredible, and God honored. God honor. Now back in Hebrews again, we read here about her faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read concerning her, "By faith Rahab the prostitute received the spies in peace. She received the spies in peace and didn't perish with those who disobeyed." What do you mean disobeyed? Those that disobeyed the will of God. These are the Canaanites who lived in Jericho and all the other cities. Go back and refresh your mind. Read the story of Joshua in the book of Joshua. It is blood and guts. But the one thing that stands above all that is God promised, he keeps his promises. God promised, he keeps his promise. God promised, he keeps his promises. It is an amazing thing to read how the first Exodus out of Egypt was fulfilled under Joshua's leadership in the land of Israel. Same thing, you'll find the same thing when the Jewish people came back from their estrangement over in Babylon. Remember Daniel, Ezekiel? After 70 years, God said, "Okay, your time of discipline is over. I'm sending you back to the land." You'll read the same record. Same record. Nobody living there wanted them there. Nobody. God did. And for some reason, that land was key to God's providential provision for fulfilling his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And God's doing the same thing today. There's going to be a catch. There'll be a catch. Remember, the 70th week of Daniel is split in two halves. The first 42 months, those two prophets of God are going to be on the earth, and it's going to be phenomenal what they're going to accomplish. They're going to be killed, and the second 42 months, the Antichrist, empowered by Satan, will be empowered by God to make war against the saints. But during that 42-month period, God has a place in the wilderness where he's going to tuck away his remnant people. Read about it in the book of Revelation. It's very clear. Very clear. But that will be a time also of blood and guts. A lot of people going to die in that 7-year period. The earth will be depopulated, extremely, extremely depopulated. Somewhere between 40 to 30% of the earth's population at the rapture will remain to see Jesus come back from heaven. But God will have his remnant. God will preserve his remnant. And they will be here on the earth, waiting to greet the King when he returns from heaven. And when we return with him, they will be here. Now, what's the point? The point is, Rahab believed that. Listen, Rahab had more faith, more understanding, more comprehension of the plan of God than a lot of the people who were marching in Joshua's armies. This woman is to be celebrated, not because of her career choices, but because of her faith and confidence. And God honored that in a very, very significant way. Now we come to a fascinating section of Hebrews 11. Look at it with me. What more can I say? The writer leaves his individual discussion of heroes of faith in the Old Testament, the last one being Rahab. What more can I say? Time is too short for me to tell about. And then he lists six great characters: Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets. What a stellar group. It would be fun to take each one of them. But the writer doesn't do that. You have to do that on your own. But what you'll find is that the same faith functioned in their lives just as it had functioned in these giants, these heroes of faith that we've had named in the first part of it. But these who are mentioned, it says, verse 33, these who are mentioned and others like them, by faith conquered kingdoms, administrated justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, gained strength after being weak, became mighty in battle, and put foreign enemies to flight. Women received their dead raised to life again. Wow. Wow. Incredible. What's the point? The point is that these people who are not highlighted in chapter 11 also walked by faith. They also saw the same God be faithful to the same promises. They also pursued the same goals. And God honored their faith. Now look with me at verse 35b. Some men were tortured, not accepting release, so that they might gain a better resurrection. Pause for a moment. Brothers and sisters, resurrection is not something that happens to the spirit. Resurrection is something that happens to the body. When you find the word resurrection in your Bible, you're talking about somebody being brought back from a state of deterioration, perhaps decomposition. A body being absolutely restructured, absolutely repatterned, no more mortal, no more temporal, no more material per se, but spiritual, immortal, eternal. Perfect. That's what it's saying. So these people believed God not just for the future of the covenant promises he made, but these people believed God in themselves, for themselves, and for their family. They understood that faith that brought the walls of Jericho down, that same faith placed in the same God for the same promises he made, is very personal. It's very, very individual. It's why Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. That's why Jesus said, all who are in the grave shall hear my voice and come forth. Those that have done good are the resurrection of just, those that have done evil are the resurrection of damnation. Everybody gets resurrected. No escape, no exceptions. Why? Because that's what God says is his plan. I know. You mean to tell me God's going to somehow recreate a body that has been decomposing in the earth for 40, 50, 60? Yeah. For 2,000? 4,000? 6,000? Yeah. How about those that were destroyed in the great flood? Yeah. 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 God knows where they all are. And every one of them is going to be resurrected to stand before God. Incredible individual application. Now, no, because they embraced that fact, they saw that this life isn't the end. They saw that this present body isn't the final, this isn't as good as it can get. They saw that there was a resurrection anticipated, and they did not accept release. They accepted torment. Why? Rather than deny, rather than repudiate the promise of God for themselves in terms of resurrection. Have you thought, have you studied in the scriptures what you're going to be like 2 seconds after the rapture? It's incredible. You're going to have a new heart, brand new heart. I don't mean the physical organ. I mean you. You're going to be changed. You will never again have the sin nature in you. You'll never again be tempted from within. Never, 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 never. Your mind will be perfected. Your capacities to think, act, speak, all of that. You will see the invisible better than you see the visible today. You will be in heaven. You will be surrounded by angels. You will see the throne of God. Folks, we got an incredible future ahead of us. And these dear folks saw that, embraced that, and said to their tormentors, no, no, give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. I'll stay with Jesus. I'll follow him. Great, 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 great verse. Now others, verse 36, experienced mockings and scourgings as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, sawed in two. You saw that on television, didn't you, just a little bit ago? People that were decapitated, sawed in two. Others experienced mockings and scourgings, as well as bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two. They died by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. That's telling us that fate doesn't guarantee you success and appreciation in this world. Matter of fact, the stronger and deeper your faith, the more you are not like this world. The more you realize that this world is not my home, the more you realize that the things of this earth are absolutely worthless compared to the things that are waiting for us in heaven. Absolutely valueless. Valueless. Once today I was listening to one of our children talk about raising her children. Bless her heart. Bless her heart. Talking about how desperately. You know, she's sitting there, why I've been in tears, talking about how desperately she wants her children to know the values that make a difference. How she wants them to know and love God. How she wants them to be students of the scripture. How she wants this, 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 this. And in telling us how difficult it is, even in the church, even in the Christian school, even in association with Christian families. Verse 38, the world was not worthy of them. Mark that. What that tells you is that God weighs values differently than we do. That's what it says. Wall Street has no control over the true values of life. None. None. That's God's premium statement in this whole chapter. The world is not worthy of them. But notice, flip back please to verse 16. Verse 16, talk about Abraham. They now aspire to a better land, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Is that what you want? Is that what you want at the end of the day? You want God to say of you, the world is not worthy of you. The world doesn't deserve you. The world can't create the kind of person you are. The world can't sustain it. And nothing can add to the real quality and worth of who you are, my child. Verse 39, all these were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised. All these were approved. I went to NRB, National Religious Broadcasters, years ago. Judy was there. Judy and Brian were there. We were down in Washington, D.C., and first Bush, Senior Bush, was president, and we were going to hear him. He was going to come talk to us. So they shut down the hotel and did a thorough spec. I mean, this went on for 24 hours ahead of time. We were told what to come, where to come, what not to bring. We were given exactly how we were to show up. And we went through a screening and all of that, you know, wanding and all that. There were dogs all over the place. The whole bank of TV cameras back here against the wall. And we were rushing in, we were down. We sat about, maybe seven rows back from the front, a little off to President Bush's left-hand side. I mean, the place was just electrified. Here it was, the President of the United States, the leader of the free world. Here he was up here about to speak to us. And everybody was leaning into it, and everybody was looking for some chance to accidentally bump into him and get his autograph, you know. He came sequestered by his protective force. Amazing. And before he came on the platform, here they were, standing down front like this, you know, everybody looking. And I mean, they were all over the place. There must have been 50, 60 of those security people all over the place, sitting all around, watching up on the platform, all those places, because the president was there. It was obvious, a very, very important person. And I'll never forget this. He walked out on the platform, looked at us and said, well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Jim Custer. Wow, is it good to see you. I haven't seen... No, that didn't really happen. But I want you to think about that. If Jesus shows up Sunday morning at your church, wow, so good to see you. Wow, neat to see you, Ed. Wow. Can I sit and sit beside you? The world is not worthy of these folk. God says they're my children. And God says, I approve of their faith. I will not forget their sufferings. I approve. Next week, we're going to study the greatest example of perseverance and faith in your whole Bible. Tonight, Father, I pray that you would, from Rahab to David, from Noah to Moses, from Sarah to Ruth, show us that you are not a respecter of persons. Show us that you never neglected the Gentiles in your covenant of faith. Show us that the whole purpose of Messiah coming into the world was so that out of him and his bountiful grace and mercy, a huge remnant could be saved, forgiven, born again, made sons of God, and Jews and Gentiles alike could become your family. And you would delight in us. You wouldn't sit up there passively. You would walk with us, direct us, guide us. You would hear our prayers. You would hold us when we cry. You would whisper to us when our adversary was trying to redirect our attention to less honorable things. And you were constantly seeking to build into our hearts this confidence, this assurance, this grace work of knowing that you will do all you promised. We read in the verse as we closed, Father, that every one of these people died, and the promise they were pursuing was not fulfilled. Parts of it were, aspects of it were completed, but the big finale is still ahead. Thank you for waiting for us. Thank you that you didn't close your books and bring history to a culmination in the 1950s or the 60s or the 90s. Your grace is still available. The door to your heart, to forgiveness and life eternal, is still wide open. Jesus still knocks and whispers, come unto me. And for any of us who will accept that invitation, he will sup with us. He'll fellowship with us. And we get to fellowship with him. And while it might have been momentarily electrifying to be recognized by our president, an infinitely greater, infinitely insurpassable greater welcome, greeting awaits each of us who know you. When you stretch out your hands to us and say, welcome home, my child. Welcome home. You have been faithful in few things. I will make you ruler over many. Come, enjoy your home. We long for that. May we live for that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
The world was not worthy of them. You don't get that epitaph for free. That's a costly, costly inscription on your tombstone. But all those who have paid that price would say it was nothing compared to the eternal weight of glory they received in the other world. For the last few broadcasts, we've been listening to Jim's sermon, Faith is Not Just for the Heavyweights. You can get it on CD for a gift of $7 or more. It's part of our second Hebrews series, God's Ultimatum, Volume 2. You can have all 20 talks on disc for an offering of $69 or more. We're extremely grateful to everyone who prayed and who sent a check to make this half hour in God's Word possible. Without your contributions, there would be no Right Start program. That is literally true. So if you're not on board with us already, please pray about whether you too could join the crew. And if you are, thanks so much. You can reach us by phone at 1-800-984-2313. Again, 800-984-2313, or mail us at Right Start, P.O. Box 437, Worthington, Ohio, 43085, USA. And remember our web address, rightstartradio.org. We appreciate our radio affiliates. There's just something about listening to the broadcast as it goes out live every day. But when that's not possible, there's the podcast. You can connect to it from a link on our site, and you can play radio programs or complete sermons there. Please consider making a secure online donation, too. Lots of good stuff at rightstartradio.org. Thanks for listening. I'm Dan Pope. We hope you have a safe and refreshing weekend in the Lord. In the message we'll begin on Monday, Jim will connect Hebrews and 1 Corinthians. Please be with us to get the new week off to a right start.